Good day. I'm going to be reading the February 6, 2025 edition of the Iroquois Times Republic. The first headline article on the front page is titled Watseka Firefighters Honored at Annual Banquet. The Watseka firefighters gathered at Watseka Elks Lodge February 1st for the annual banquet. It was a night of fellowship and honors as the firefighters and their families and guests heard about the many achievements that happened the past year. Association Vice President Andrew Walton welcomed everyone. He said, "Thank you all for being here and the continued support of Watseka Fire. I'd like to take a few minutes of your evening to recognize those that helped make tonight possible. Thank you to everyone that took time out of their day to help us set up. Without all of you, it wouldn't be possible. A special thank you to Lenita Bear for getting the desserts for us. I'd also like to extend a thank you to our aldermen for their continued support for the needs of our fire department. Most importantly, I'd like to thank our firefighters for their time and dedication to our department and our community. There's a lot of time spent responding to calls and many hours spent at meetings and trainings, which in turn causes sacrifices to be made at home. With that being said, thank you to all of the significant others and families that continue to support us in making what we do possible. I hope everyone enjoys the evening, and again, thank you all for being here." Association President Nick Brault, B-R-A-U-L-T, spoke about one of the goals met by the association in the past year, a Lund University cardiopulmonary assist system with the acronym LUCAS device. He said, "I want to thank all of you for joining us. I'd like to talk a few minutes about the Watseka Fire Association and all that we have accomplished this year. We as an association had our eye on something big that we wanted to bring to the community that would be very beneficial, the Lucas device. This year we held our first fundraiser in many years and had great success. With the help of many donors and grants, we were able to purchase this device in November. For those of you that don't know what a Lucas device is, it's a medical chest compression system that helps healthcare providers perform CPR on patients in cardiac arrest. The device delivers constant compressions, which can improve the quality of CPR. It reduces the physical strain on the CPR provider, allowing them to focus on other aspects of patient care. The device can improve the speed and efficiency of rescue, which can improve patient survival rates. We have already been able to use this device within the field and have been called to mutual aid calls to assist in CPR with other local departments. There is $2,072 out of the $22,000 that the unit cost. So thank you to our community and volunteers who've helped make this possible." Lieutenant Dwayne Prose presented Years of Service Awards to firefighter Rusty Kuhlman and firefighter John Witzman, both of whom have 5 years of service. Advanced Firefighter Awards were presented by Deputy Chief Nick Peters to firefighter Jackie Lesage and firefighter Ryan Burton. Peters also recognized the Fire Academy Award recipients, firefighters John Whitman, Dakota Schroeder, Nate Douglas, Rusty Kuhlman, Matt Sticknoth, and Tommy Woodby. Captain Jason Howe noted other class completions made by firefighters in 2024. And there's a long list of firefighters and the different classes that they completed, such as a confined space technician, fire service instructor, hazardous material operation, etc. The Stork Award for EMS was presented to Steve Yana, Nick Coate, and Jeremy Snodgrass for delivering a baby. Firefighters were also recognized for the most calls made and most trainings made from each station. Bear acknowledged Shannon Woods for Station 1, who made 267 out of 669 calls, or 55%. At Station 2, Tommy Woodby was honored for making 205 out of 669, or 31%. Howe recognized Ryan Burton at Station 1, Tommy would be at Station 2 for making the most trainings. Bear honored Nick Brault for his work in acquiring the money for the Lucas device and Lieutenant Tom Sandino, who worked hard to restructure the cadet program. FFEMT Jackie Lesage was honored with the Stepping Up Award. Bear said that one of the most important things for the department is the support from the community. That is what is keeping all the guys going. He said they're all appreciative of that community support. Next article, Blessings in a Backpack and Other Programs Provided in Unit 9 District. Several grants and donations have been utilized for programs in the Unit 9 School District in the January Administrator's Reports to the School Board. Casey Hansen, Curriculum Title and Grant Director, noted that community groups had provided donations for the Blessings in a Backpack program. The Brave Warriors Foundation provided $2,000 and Glen Raymond school staff provided $260. She said the National Honor Society and Key Club students packed nearly 400 bags for this program. We are now ordering food from GFS and packing our own bags to send home with students. Donations can still be made directly to the Blessings in a Backpack program. However, some of our grant money cannot be spent through a second party. She will be submitting a grant application to the Emergency Food and Shelter Grant, which is one that allows the district to order food from GFS for the Blessings in a Backpack program. She said that the district was awarded a $4,300 Breakfast After the Bell grant, which will be used to purchase new refrigerators at Wanda Kendall School. On January 28th, 29th, and 30th, Sydney Ferris and Tina Douglas hosted the Wanda Kendall After School Games, which was a program for pre-kindergarten and kindergarten students. Watsika Junior High School Principal Jeff Peruse said in his report that the Holiday Treasures Gift Shop event allowed high school student council members to provide a gift shopping experience for the elementary students. Every child was able to shop, even if they didn't bring money from home. This was made possible by the generous donations of local businesses and community members. Our students had an amazing time and thoroughly enjoyed the opportunity to shop for themselves and others. Feedback from students, teachers, and parents were all positive, so we already have our date scheduled for next year's gift shopping event. The junior high students provided Christmas kindness during the holidays at school to the troops in the community. The first Wellness Wednesday project was to create Christmas kindness trees from each advisory class. The WJHS students wrote down ways they could help spread Christmas kindness on their Christmas tree triangle piece. Each advisory tree displayed in the junior high stairwell. The WHJS Builders Club came up with the next Christmas kindness project. Students wrote Christmas cards to our military troops to remind them that they were thought of and appreciated this holiday season. The students enjoyed this activity so much that WHJS decided we all wanted to spread Christmas kindness throughout our community. Our students wrote Christmas cards to our local heroes and essential workers to let them know we're grateful for and value the care and service provided to our community. Next article is titled Senior Apartment Complex in Watsika Has New Owners. A senior apartment complex in Watsika has new owners. TNS Developments, LLC, officially became the new owners of Lakeview Apartments. Sydney Ferris and property manager Tanner Cahoe had a tenant meeting the next day to get acquainted with the residents at the complex. The property was in need of some maintenance, and Ferris said they plan to keep the complex a senior living community and make improvements that are needed. Cahoe said the property was developed years ago as a lower-income complex. We are still working with the state, he said, noting they're honoring the tenants' income agreements for the 28 units currently occupied. There are 9 units that are empty and are not part of that program, and eventually all the units will cycle out of that program. Ferris said they became interested in the complex as they would drive by the property and see the state it was in. They talked about what it could be. She said they were called by the former owners to give a quote on a concrete project at the complex. From there, they had discussions about whether or not the property might be for sale. We just happened to contact them right before they listed it, she said, as they learned the property was set to be part of a larger package of properties for sale. Ferris worked with the broker in the state of Illinois to purchase this Watsika property. The state did care about the tenants. We were told many times that the main goal was to sell to somebody who was going to take care of things, and they thought we were a good fit. The complex has a variety of 1- and 2-bedroom units, which are fully equipped with appliances. Plans for the property include getting dead trees and overgrowth removed. TJ Signs has been working on new signage for them, with the new entrance sign installed January 24th. The parking lot will be redone sometime in the spring. The 9 empty units will be remodeled before being offered to rent. Ferris said they had current residents fill out a priority maintenance list for things that need repaired in their units. They're not in terrible shape, he said. It's just little things here and there. They ask the tenants to rank their needs so that work gets done efficiently and timely. The Lakeview apartment complex is just one of several projects the two are working on in the area. TNS Developments purchased Hubbard Trail Barn on Lafayette Street last fall and is working on making that property an event venue. The company also has billboards outside of town on which people rent space. The company purchased an 8-unit apartment complex outside of Oppieville about the same time the barn was purchased and are refurbishing that property. Ferris said she's hoping to have that property finished in the spring. Kevin Ailey works with Cahoe on maintenance and renovation work. Rachel Bros does the bookkeeping. All the while, Ferris and Cahoe work on these projects. They also keep busy with other jobs. Ferris is a full-time preschool teacher for Unit 9. Cahoe owns bait shop, Tater's Master Bait and Tackle. Ferris said while the Lakeview apartment complex was TNS Development's biggest transaction so far, they are still on the lookout for more projects. They enjoy the work and making improvements on the properties that they purchase. Next article, Crescent Board okays Fireball Festival Parade Resolution. The March 3rd meeting of the Crescent City Board was called to order by Mayor Mark Rabe. In the absence of Clerk Kathy Christensen, Trustee Kim Rabe took roll call. Johnson gave an update on the work done the past month. The home that was recently purchased had to have a water meter replaced, although the water had been shut off. The meter showed usage. The original meter was sent in to be tested. There are a few places in the village where water meters still need to be installed. Water at another property was shut off. The home on that property would be demolished at a later time. Mayor Rabe asked Johnson to take the new doors of the Heritage Park concession building to Trudeau's and Sheldon so they can be painted. As to the recent water main break, it was time-consuming due to the amount of asphalt and concrete which had to be dug through to get to the pipe. The monthly operating report from ERH was read by Mayor Rabe. Bellot discussed some of the work ERH has done and explained the procedures for obtaining water samples. Currently, all water accounts are up to date with the exception of properties where a lien has been recorded or the property is set to be demolished. In new business, Mayor Rabe presented a resolution which is needed for the Fireball Festival 2025 parade. The resolution was discussed, then approved. In regards to a property which the village has earmarked for demolition, a copy of a court notice was shared and explained. For this specific property, there is a court date of February 24th. Mayor Rabe presented a bid he'd received for work needed at the community center. A bid for the lights and ceiling fans has not yet been received. Kim Rabe said she, Christensen, and Mary Carley are working together for the one call by unsolved process. She is asking residents to notify her or Christensen of how they want to be notified in case of an emergency through the one call program. The final article on the front page is regarding voting. The Iroquois County Clerk Brianne Suver wants to remind everyone, in order to vote at the polls for the upcoming April 1, 2025 consolidated election, the last day to register or change an address in the county clerk's office is Tuesday, March 4th. According to information from Suver, people may register in the office of the Iroquois County Clerk, located in the Iroquois County Administrative Center. They may register in the office of their village or township clerk with their precinct committeeman or voter registrar in their precinct. You're reminded to bring two forms of identification with your name. Article titled Opening the Doors to Inclusivity. Clove Alliance, which supports survivors of sexual violence, and the FIRST Collaboration, an initiative to improve services and responses for survivors with disabilities, invite the community to Opening the Doors to Inclusivity, an open house event. The evening will focus on fostering inclusivity, sharing information about local services, and cultivating collaboration. The event will take place February 13th, 4 to 6 p.m. at 1801 Route 1 in Watsika. Clove Alliance's Watsika location. People with disabilities, their families and supporters, and disability service providers are all encouraged to join. Guests will enjoy tours of Clove Alliance's Watsika office, connect with local service providers, and learn more about the FIRST collaboration, how they can help encourage inclusivity. Carrie Blanton, a trauma counselor at Clove Alliance and facilitator of the group, said in a news release, "The FIRST collaboration aims to create a victim-centered response to harm that ensures everyone, regardless of ability, feels safe and supported. This open house is a chance to build connections in our community and strengthen our efforts to support survivors with disabilities. Statistics show that individuals with disabilities are 3 times more likely to experience sexual violence compared to those without disabilities. Despite this heightened risk, many face barriers to reporting abuse and accessing support services. Through initiatives like the FIRST Collaboration, Clove Alliance is committed to reducing these disparities and ensuring survivors with disabilities are believed and treated with dignity." An article from Springfield. Winding through the heart of Illinois' 53rd Senate District, Route 66 has long been a gateway to adventure, history, and economic growth, especially in Pontiac, where the highway's legacy remains a vibrant part of the community. To honor its impact and celebrate its centennial, State Senator Chris Balcoma, Republican of Chanahan, is officially declaring 2026 as the Illinois Route 66 centennial year. He said in a news release, "For decades, Pontiac has been a must-visit stop for travelers from around the world with its iconic Route 66 museum, historic murals, and classic roadside attractions. Route 66 has fueled local businesses, strengthened our communities, and put our district on the map. Celebrating 100 years is not only an honored reflection of our past, but also a commitment to preserving its legacy for future generations." Senate Joint Resolution 12, filed by Senator Balcoma, highlights the rich history of Route 66 and declares 2026 as the Illinois Route 66 centennial year to honor the 100th anniversary of the historic highway. Senator Balcoma says Route 66 is not just a road, it's a symbol of American freedom, adventure, and history. "As someone representing a district through which a large portion of Route 66 proudly runs, I am proud that my first resolution recognizes its legacy and the communities it connects, both within our district and across the nation." Route 66, fondly known as the Main Street of America and the Mother Road, was first established in 1926 and has played a pivotal role in the history and development of the United States. Illinois holds a special place in the history of Route 66 as it was the first state to pave the highway in its entirety and serve as the starting point of this iconic roadway. From its historic diners and motels to its roadside attractions and cultural landmarks, Illinois has preserved the spirit of Route 66 while fostering economic growth and tourism along its path. The next article, information and forms for the Senior Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program are available from the Office of Iroquois County Treasurer Kurt Albers, according to information provided by his office. The program allows qualified senior citizens to defer all or part of their 2024 property taxes up to $5,000 on their personal residence. Applications must be filed with the Treasurer's Office by March 1st in order to defer 2024 taxes billed in 2025. To qualify, a person must be 65 or over by June 1st, 24, have a total household income of $55,000 or less, and have lived in the property for at least 3 years. In addition, there must be no delinquent taxes on the property. Qualified taxpayers can defer taxes totaling up to 80% of the equity interest they have in the home. The program sets up a form of a loan with a 6% interest rate, which does not become due until the taxpayer sells the property or after the taxpayer's death. To apply for the program, the person has to file two forms with the county treasurer's office. The first form asks for basic information. It also requires joint owners agree to the tax deferral. In addition, it requires that evidence be presented of adequate insurance on the property. The second form is the agreement for the tax deferral. It sets out the conditions of the deferral, including the amount which can be deferred, the interest rate, and arrangements for paying back the loan. If there are questions about this program, contact the County Treasurer's Office. There is one obituary in this edition, Jennifer L. Lawrence, 52 years of age, of Spring Mills, passed away Thursday, January 30th, 2025. A celebration of life for Jennifer will be held on Saturday, February 8th at 11 a.m. at the Spruce Town United Methodist Church in Potter's Mills. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions can be made to the ASPCA or the American Cancer Society. Arrangements have been entrusted to Barbara Duffenbaugh, Funeral Home of Center Hall. A request from Senator Balcoma. With Valentine's Day approaching, he is asking for help to brighten the day of senior citizens across the 53rd Senate District. My hope is that everyone, especially those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, feels loved and remembered this Valentine's Day. By leading with love and taking just a few moments to create a card, you can make a meaningful difference in someone's life and show them they matter. To achieve his goal, Balcoma is asking students, scout groups, churches, and other groups to consider creating homemade cards that will be delivered to nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and other long-term care facilities throughout the 53rd Senate District. Cards can be mailed or dropped off from now until February 7th. You can drop off or mail your cards to his office in Pontiac or Dwight. An article about the American Cancer Society Relay for Life of Kankakee County. Though it is not until June 14th, work is beginning now to build the celebration that will bring together passionate supporters who embody the American Cancer Society's mission to end cancer as we know it. The Relay for Life will host a kickoff event on Monday, February 17th at 6:30 p.m. at Bourbonnais Municipal Center to mark the beginning of the fundraising season. The kickoff will feature guest speakers, light refreshments, door prizes, ACS information, music, survivors activities, cakewalk, and much more. Guests will also have the opportunity to register a team or as a survivor for the Relay for Life of Kankakee event, which will be held on June 14th. Relay for Life is a volunteer-led experience that unites communities across the world to celebrate cancer survivors, remember loved ones lost to cancer, and raise funds to improve the lives of people with cancer and their families through advocacy, research, and patient support to ensure everyone has an opportunity to prevent, detect, treat, and survive cancer. Michelle Sadler is the relay event chair. She says, "We share a passion to save lives, celebrate lives, and work to end cancer as we know it for everyone. In 2024, more than 2 million new cancer cases will be diagnosed in the United States, and more than 600,000 Americans will die from cancer. Being there for anyone impacted by cancer is year-round work, and we're excited to kick off the relay season for 2025. Since 1985, Relay for Life has raised $6.9 billion, allowing the American Cancer Society to invest $3.5 billion in cancer research. Our contributions have helped contribute to a 33% decline in the cancer death rate, leading to 4 million lives saved. Dollars raised each year by Relay participants across the country help support the American Cancer Society's mission in countless ways, providing education and advocating for the needs of cancer patients and their families, and providing essential services throughout their cancer journey. In Kankakee County, Relayers come together because of a shared passion for ending cancer as we know it. No matter how cancer has impacted your life, you'll want to get involved. You can sign up for the Relay at relayforlife.org. You can also donate. Your donation fuels the American Cancer Society's fight against cancer. The same website can be used for that. An article regarding community colleges in the state. The Illinois Community College Board has provided more than $3.6 million to 32 Illinois community colleges to support student mental health in 2025. These funds will introduce new services, augment existing practices, and target service gaps to help meet the mental health needs of thousands of students on community college campuses across the state, according to information from the board. The executive director, Brian Durham, said, "We know many college students nationwide face mental health challenges. A recent U.S. News survey revealed nearly 70% of college students report struggling with their mental health. This investment will help community colleges better meet the needs of students outside the classroom, contributing to their success in the classroom." A 2023 Healthy Mind study, which surveyed 800 campuses across the country, found that 41% of college students screened positive for clinically significant symptoms of depression, and 1 in 3 college students screened positive for anxiety. The Lumina Foundation State of Higher Education 2024 report indicates that 64% of currently enrolled students who recently considered stopping out of their program say emotional stress or mental health concerns are significant reasons why. The end of the article lists all the community colleges that received funds. Kankakee Community College received $120,000. The article went on to say that all colleges receiving funds will use them in at least one of four ways: develop and expand peer support programs, expand the number of students served through local partnership, develop and expand mental health services targeting service gaps, emphasizing underserved students, develop Medicaid and other reimbursement procedures for mental health services. There is one student announced to a college dean's list in recognition of outstanding achievement. Trinity Christian College has listed Larina Arnott, A-R-N-O-T-T, of LODA, on the college's dean's list. An announcement that the production from the Watsika Community High School Drama Department will be Trumbull in Tumbleweed and the Inspector General in 2025. It will be at the Watsika Theater at 7 p.m. on March 21st and 22nd. The date of May 7th is noted as the Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce annual banquet and celebrating the chamber's 80th anniversary. And May 18th will be the I Got Your Six Walk Run at Perry Farm Park in Bourbonnais. This was organized in memory of Bradley Police Department Sergeant Marlene Ritmanick and in honor of Officer Tyler Bailey. This offers a 10K run, 5K run, 2-mile walk. And as a tribute to Marlene's love of dogs, participants can register their dog to run or walk with them. This completes reading this week's edition of the Iroquois County Times-Republic. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your week.